2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning or start just looking at verse 5, he says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." You know, I view all of life as a privilege, a gift from God. And I think that includes especially the relationships that we have with one another, friends, with coworkers, with church family. I greatly value the family that God has put together, that has brought together this church family. I have a friend in Colorado. He will be 93 years old this summer, July 1st. And when we were in our previous ministry, we would have him come once a year, and for about 10 or 12 years straight, he would come every year. And he would always tell me, he said, I love coming to this church because you can tell a lot about a church by what happens after the service is over. The people will stand around and they'll talk. And when we first came to Grace Bible Church over 6 years ago now, one of the things I noticed about Grace Bible Church, after the services are over, people stood around, you stood around and you talked with each other. You know, that's not always true in all churches. We think it is. And that's something we take for granted. We take things like what we experienced last night for granted. I had a great time of fellowship last night. I think we don't emphasize enough the fellowship times outside of church that are available. But I also value time with my own family. And I think as families, those times are important, especially as our children grow. They need to see mom and dad relating to one another, and they need to learn to honor mom and dad because they need to know that mom and dad love them. I mean, I know it's, as you get to be a teenager, it's hard to imagine your parents loving you. As your children get to be teenagers, it's hard to imagine parents loving your children. I understand that. But the reality is we do. We love our children, and we want what's best for them. To be part of a family that knows and loves the Lord, I believe, is a special privilege. I did not grow up in that kind of home. And I think sometimes Christian young people take that for granted, that their parents genuinely love the Lord. I want to stress especially to children today how much you should love, value, honor, respect, obey your parents. But on this day, how much those things should be true toward your mother. There was a leader in France by the name of Napoleon. He said, "Let France have good mothers, and she will have good sons." A former chaplain of the United States Senate, Peter Marshall, said, "For centuries, men have recognized that womanhood is a sacred and noble thing, and that women are of finer clay. It remained for the 20th century in the name of progress to pull her down from her throne and make her like a man. She wanted equality. For 1900 years, she had been superior." In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, it says that Eunice became the example of a godly Christian mother. And I want us to see three things about her. I want us to see, first of all, her faith, secondly, her family, and third, her fortune. First of all, her faith. Look at chapter 1 again and verse 5. What it says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee," that is Timothy, "which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice." These two women, but especially Eunice this morning, she had a faith that Paul describes as unfeigned. A woman, a godly Christian mother, if she is to be what God wants her to be, she must have faith. That is, she must be a believer. It is what she believes, her Christian faith, her relationship with Jesus Christ. Why is that so important? Because what she believes determined how she behaves. But guess what? It's the same thing today. What was true in the first century with Lois and Eunice is the same today for everybody. What we believe determines how we live. And I want you to see this phrase, her faith was unfeigned. It was sincere. It was genuine. It was authentic. It was real. Look over with me at Acts chapter 16. We went through Acts a few months ago. Pastor Matt took us through Acts. We went through this portion. But I want us to notice something about what Luke writes about this experience. Luke 16, or Acts 16, look at verse 1. Then came he, that is Paul, to Derbe, and behold, a certain disciple was there, named Timothy, the son of a certain woman. Who was that woman? Eunice, which was a Jewess. Now watch this, and believed. Think about that. She had put her faith and trust in Jesus the Messiah as a Jewess. That is a remarkable step of faith in the first century. That was costly for her. It was costly because it likely meant her own family had abandoned her. Much of it, except her mother. But more than that, look what it says about his father. But his father was a what? Greek. In other words, he wasn't a believer. Eunice was. And Eunice determined to raise her son in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. A Jewess who believed on Jesus, the hope of Israel. She had a sincere and unqualified faith about this. I mean, she was convinced in God's wisdom, in God's power. She was convinced in God's goodness in Christ. And it impacted her conduct. Notice over at in the second chapter of Titus. Notice what it says here. Titus chapter 2. Verse 1, but speak thou the things, Titus chapter 2, verse 1, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. Now watch what he says in verse 3, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Do you think Eunice learned that from her mother Lois? Do you think Lois took the time to teach her daughter, this is the kind of wife, this is the kind of mother that you need to be? And then Paul comes along and he reaffirms that with Eunice. Unfeigned faith dwelt in Eunice. Her conduct and her creed were consistent. What is the first step of becoming a godly mother? Knowing Christ. Unfeigned faith. Secondly, her family. Look at Proverbs chapter 31. You knew we had to go here this morning. I mean, that's just obvious. You got to go to Mother's Day. You have to go to Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31. Verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat or food to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow, for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates. When he sitteth among the elders of the land, she maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. That is the composite of a godly, Christian, believing mom. And I want you to notice three things about her. Number one, she's a faithful wife in verses 10 and 11, or verses 10 through 12. Who can find a virtuous woman? The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She is a faithful wife. She's a blessed mom, verses 13 through 28, which we just read. And she is an excellent individual, verses 29 through 31. Think about this. In the case of Eunice, that's all the more remarkable because her husband was what? Luke specifically tells us he was a Greek. In other words, he was an unbeliever. And yet she was a godly woman. She was a godly lady who sought to raise her son in the things of God. I want you to notice another passage. And again, Mother's Day, we have to go here. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, that is, if any husband is not a believer, if any husband is not saved, if any obey not the word, that also they also may without the word be won by the conversation, by the manner of life of the wives. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Why do you live the way you do? Why do you act the way you do? Why do you think the way you do? Because you love the Lord. Because you desire to serve Christ above all things. Whose adorning, let it not be with that outward adorning of plaiting the hair, of wearing of gold, putting on apparel, but let it be of the hidden man of the heart, the inner person, the character. in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. You know, I think that passage and Proverbs 31 would have been a tremendous help to Eunice. You know why I think that? Because it's a tremendous help to us today, to moms. You ever think about this? You ever think about some of the wives who were the exact opposite of a virtuous woman? Let's consider a couple for a moment. Let's consider Adam's wife, Eve. Now, we're not blaming Eve, because Adam was just as much to blame as she was in the fall, even more so. But consider Eve. Was she a virtuous woman when the tempter came? To whom did she listen? To the voice of her husband or the voice of the tempter? And you can't be too hard on her, because if any of us had been there, the same thing would have happened, I believe. What about Solomon's wives? You know, one of the stunning things, I think, one of the most stunning things about Solomon is that phrase in the book of Kings where it says that Solomon loved many foreign women. I think that is one of the most, the saddest, the profoundly saddest statements in all of God's word, because that is something that God warned Moses would happen. The women that these kings will have will turn their hearts, will turn the heart of the king away from me. And that is exactly what happened. Solomon brought the kingdom down. And you can't think of a bad example without thinking of this woman, Jezebel. Jezebel and Ahab. I mean, read that story sometime and look at the influence she had. When he was pouting, as that song talks about the poochy lip disease, when he was pouting, who was it that instigated him to that he was going to get Naboth's vineyard? It was his wife. I mean, she stirred Ahab to wickedness. What about Job's wife? Curse God and die. Just be done with it. So those are bad examples. What about mixed examples? You ever think about them? Rachel. In the story, did Rachel love Jacob? Yes. We're told that. Genesis tells us that Rachel loved him. Well, if she loved him, then why did she steal the idols from her father and bring that on Jacob? What about Michael, David's wife, one of David's wives? Remember that story? Saul is hunting David. Who saves him? Michael. But yet later, when David is dancing before the Lord, who curses David? Michael. She saves his life and then later despises him. Oh, but we have great examples too. I think of this woman, Abigail. She's married, when we first meet her, she's married to whom? Nabal. What does his name mean? In Hebrew, it means fool. And I think that's being kind to the guy. I really do. Because he exemplified what a fool was. But do you hear her complaining? Do you hear her murmuring? She's doing everything she can to keep God's curse from coming down on her husband. She's taking every step that she possibly can to help him. And ultimately, God strikes him down. And he dies, and she marries David. She becomes David's wife. Remarkable examples. Good, mixed, and bad. So we've seen the faith of Eunice. We've seen the family of Eunice, the descendant of Timothy, which I think we talked about this in 2 Timothy, and you can see it, you know, and clear through the book of into the book of Revelation, the influence that Timothy must have still been having, even though he was probably gone by the time, or probably most likely gone by the time the book in Revelation, the church in Revelation is talked about. Timothy's no longer there. What a remarkable man he was, because he had a godly mother and a godly grandmother. That leads us to the third element here, or the third feature of Lois and Eunice. Her fortune. What is the benefit of motherhood? I saw a sign, a license plate the other day, or not a license plate, but a license plate frame the other day. And I've seen it before, and every time I see it, I smile. It says, "Grandchildren are God's reward for giving you children." I don't know. We don't have grandchildren yet. I can't say for sure, but from what I've talked with grandparents, that's probably true. What profit is there in motherhood? I mean, people say this all the time. It's expensive. It's costly to have children. It's time consuming. You know what? Those kinds of questions and comments overlook the warning about greed, the warnings in Scripture about greed, about selfishness, about covetousness. Look with me again at Proverbs 31 and look specifically at verse 28. It says this, "Her children arise up and call her blessed." Can I ask, don't you like, I mean, everybody likes this. Don't you like getting praise from people? Do you like that? To be recognized for your efforts? Everybody does. If you don't like it, we need to talk, because you have a problem. It's not. I'm not talking about pride. I'm just talking about being recognized as a mother or as a father. "Her children arise up and call her blessed." May I ask, young people, do you ever tell your mom how much you appreciate her? How much she means to you? Not after she's done something for you, not after she's provided something for you, but just get up in the morning and the first thing when you see your mom is say, "Mom, you are really special, and I love you, and you mean something to me. Thank you for being my mom." Now, don't go home tonight or today and do that. Do it when she doesn't expect it. Look at verse 29. "Many daughters have done excellently." Have done virtuously. "But thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised." What is important? The clothes we wear? The way we adorn our faces? What's in the heart? What you believe? I read this poem, and it really touched me, and I want to share it with you in closing. It goes like this. I heard a song that touched my heart and filled my eyes with tears. It was my mother's song in long departed years. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you now. How sweet the words that gave me hope, that I might be restored. Come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy. Mercy with the Lord. I seem to hear her gentle voice as in the long ago. Plunge now into the crimson flood that washes white as snow. She knows today, my mother knows, up there her prayers are heard. For Jesus gives the wanderer rest. I'm trusting in the Lord. May I say this sincerely from the depths of my heart? If you have a mother today who knows the Lord, you ought to treasure her far, far above any earthly thing that you can imagine. You ought to treasure her, and you ought to honor her. Do you desire to be a Proverbs 31 woman? Do you desire to follow the example of Lois? You know, the thing is, none of us are perfect. None of us are perfect. We're going to look Father's Day. We're going to look at a godly example. I'm giving you of a man. I'm giving you fair warning, men. Be here. None of us are perfect. But I know this. If you know the Lord, you're forgiven. You're forgiven of your sins. And God has given us everything in his word that pertains to life and godledness. As we've been learning in Sunday school, we've talked about this for years and years and years here at this church. God wants us to change. He wants us to be the kind of people that he lays out in his word. He wants us to be women, ladies. He wants you to be Proverbs 31 women. Men, young people, I want to ask you this. Do you have a wife or the mother of your children or your mother who exemplifies these virtues? Amen. Since we've spent today embarrassing people, and we have embarrassed a few, I want to thank God for my wife, the mother of my children, for all godly mothers and grandmothers, for all moms. All of us make mistakes. I mean, don't kid yourself. I mean, do you think Eunice was the perfect mom and she did everything right? I mean, I imagine what little Timothy must have been like growing up. But yet Paul took the time to praise her and her mom because of what God had done in Timothy's life. You know, that's the thing. He's not praising them specifically, but he's praising the God who worked in their lives. We praise the God who works in the lives and hearts. He's still working in lives and hearts today, folks. Thank God he is. Thank the Lord that he is. Father, we thank you again for godly moms. We thank you that they desire to instill in us a love for you through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we will partake of the elements of the communion this morning, as we partake of the bread and of the fruit of the vine, it is because the faith of the gospel has been handed on to us, in many cases by parents, by moms who took the time to sit down with us and explain to us the gospel, or parents, or whomever. We honor you through them. Lord, help us today to be grateful for the things that you've given us in life, for our parents and our grandparents, for aunts and uncles who love you. Most of all, thank you for your Son, who loved us and gave himself for us. Help us to understand the necessity and the seriousness of a right relationship with you. Help us to be the example of parents and grandparents that you want us to be, especially for our young people here at Grace Bible Church. Lord, we want them to know that we love you and that you matter to us. We want them to know that the communion service and everything about it is because we love you and we desire to commemorate the work that Christ finished on the cross of Calvary. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us the time together this morning. In Jesus' name and through his mighty blood we pray. Amen.